God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Joe Biden has warned Americans that the COVID crisis is going to get worse. Thank you, friends, for tuning in to your Watchman on the Wall broadcast of Southwest Radio Church. This is Pastor Larry. Yes, that's right. Joe Biden has said this very thing. I'm going to quote him. "One thing I promise you about my leadership during this crisis, I'm going to tell it to you straight. I'm going to tell you the truth. And here's the simple truth. Our darkest days in the battle against COVID are ahead of us, not behind us." Close quotes. The coronavirus pandemic has been a weapon in the hands of the left. Sure, people have died from COVID-19, but so are they dying at a record rate from cancer and TB. The suicide rate is up. States that have promoted the lockdowns have caused irreparable harm to their citizens. Closing businesses and schools doesn't help the problem. If you can't pay the light bill, it doesn't matter if you are sick or healthy. Medical experts and epidemiologists don't all agree with the dire prophecies of the Democrats. The only problem, most are intimidated. They are afraid to tell the truth. Politics is calling the shots for the medical community. You can be sure that the medical conclusions will be based on political considerations and not science. Truth is important. Lies are supremely evil. Revelation 21 verse 8 says, "And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone." You know, friends, one of the things I love about the ministry that I'm in here at Southwest Radio Church is that I get to speak to a lot of great men and women. And usually it's on the telephone, but every once in a while I've got a real blessing. Somebody really nice like Charlie Meadows brings Bill Federer in. And Bill Federer is with us. And Bill, so good to have you once again.
Oh, Larry, great to be with you.
I am amazed at your memory. I know you can speak on a number of topics, and it's like you've got the footnotes and the history books memorized. So God has blessed you in a mighty way, and I really appreciate the gift that God has given you. And I know you're not stuffy, big head, or anything. You appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ. Bill, as we start, what do you see is the future of Christianity in America? And I know this is not our main show, but I know you are a Christian, and we've been in some conferences together. I remember one we had in Tacoma, Washington. I think we're in I won't mention it, but anyhow, it was a very good conference, and you said some really good things. What's going to happen to the gospel in America?
Yeah, I think we're facing some very, very serious times. And one of the things that I bring out in my books, one of the books is called Who Was the King in America, where the most common form of government in world history is kings. Nimrod, Pharaoh, Caesar, Kaiser, Sultan, Tsar. And as the centuries go on, the kingdoms get bigger. Because with military advancements, the dictator can kill more people. So instead of killing with a rock like Cain killed Abel, they kill with a bronze weapon or an iron weapon or a big long phalanx spear the Greeks had or a scimitar sword that the Muslims had or gunpowder that the Chinese invented. The weapon changes, but it's that same fallen nature of Cain killing Abel magnified through technology. And not just do weapons improve, tracking improves. Think of it. You know, Augustus Caesar, Tiberius Caesar wanted to have a worldwide census. They wanted to have a worldwide tracking system. I guarantee if they could have had access to cameras and computers and chips and everything, they would have had a Roman social credit tracking system. So people say history repeats itself. Really, human nature repeats itself. And it's just magnified through technology as the centuries go on. Clearly, there's a global goal in mind. You know, Genghis Khan killed 80 million people. If he hadn't have died, he would have continued to kill. Genghis Khan was 30 million, and Mao Zedong is responsible for about 80 million. If he hadn't have died, he'd have continued to kill. You look at any dictator, whether it's, you know, the different czars of Russia, you know, or the sultans, or the, you know, different Japanese emperors or Hitler. If none of those people would have died. So in that sense, death is a blessing, right? Because people say, well, you know, bring it home. I say, well, what if you were the king? Yeah, that would be pretty cool. Well, let's say you have a sister, you really love her, and she gets married, has a kid. Now the kid's grown up, and he's a teenager, and he's hanging around the wrong friends. And he's drinking and partying, and he's coming out of a party, and he hits someone with a car and kills him. And now this teenager is facing mandatory prison time. And your sister comes begging to you. And she says, you're not going to let my little Johnny get locked away in prison, are you? What are you going to say to your sister? Well, I'll let little Johnny off the hook this time, but don't let it happen again. Guess what? As soon as you say that, you are the corrupt dictator. You just sent ripples through your kingdom that if someone's family or friends with the king, they get special treatment. They're like the Kennedy family or something. If they're not family and friends, they don't get the special treatment. And if someone wants to point out your favoritism, you're going to be tempted to want to shut them up. So it just happens. Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolute. So that's why God took the power, you know, of Nimrod, Tower of Babel, and God scattered the power, separated it. But it's almost like every generation since tries to rebuild the Tower of Babel. And it keeps getting more and more to a global scale with the technology and the military advancements. And so here we are today. And I think, you know, Jesus says the wheat and tares grow together till the harvest. You have a gang leader. The gang leader dies. The number two gang leader is more than happy to step up and take his place, and it keeps it going. You know, we got, you know, George Soros. If he dies, there'll be another one that'll step up and another one, another. But you look at the body of Christ. You got Peter and the apostles, but they die. Well, the next group takes over, Polycarp and these other ones, and then they die, the next one. And it's the same body of Christ. It's just we're now the living cells. You know, your body continually replenishes cells. So, you know, within your stomach lining, you know, replenishes and the cells in your mouth are pretty frequent. But then, you know, your skin cells and then, you know, your bone cells are sort of slow. But I think every 7 years they were. And so the body of Christ has new cells and we're just the current functioning cells in the body of Christ. But it's the same body that the Apostle Paul and Peter were. But in the same time, the evil side. Right? It's the same Cain killing Abel. It's that same evil spirit. It's just, and Jesus says the wheat and tares grow together till the harvest. A little preachy, but that same spirit that we're facing today is that spirit that Herod and Pilate had and every dictator throughout history. So military advancements, technological advancements, wanting to control people and ultimately kill people. And so controlling people. In America, we flipped it. We made the people the king. And then you begin to track. First, only property owners could vote. Why? Well, they were voting on how much money they should give to the royal governor. And only the property owners had the money to give. And so, but then they broadened it to people that owned property. And then after the Civil War, they broadened it to former slaves. And then they broadened it to allow women to vote. Then they brought, and each time they broadened it, those that have evil agendas come up with expanded ways of manipulating that vote. So they want to get 18-year-olds to vote. Okay, what do 18-year-olds want? Let's package our agenda that'll appeal to them. So there's different motivations. We see the debate of John F. Kennedy and Nixon, and it was the first televised debate. And Nixon refused to put on makeup. And the bright studio lights shine so bright that the veins under your skin that you normally don't see, now it looks like he's got bloodshot eyes and blue rings under his eyes. And he looks really old and bad. And John F. Kennedy put on makeup and he looked young and handsome. And now that the women are voting, they did polls. They said if you listen to the debate on the radio, everyone thought that Nixon won. But the people that watched on TV thought that John F. Kennedy won. Why? Because of this appeal. So this has been studied on how to manipulate voters. Some voters are motivated by fear. So it's called fear mongering. And they'll take some issue and they'll try to get everybody scared. And then others are race baiting, where you take a very emotional issue and you harness the emotions for a political purpose. But when it comes down to the actual voting, there's a quote from Joseph Stalin in 1923. It's written in the memoirs of Stalin's former secretary, Boris Bazhanov, published in 2002. Stalin says, I consider it completely unimportant who in the party will vote or how, but what is extraordinarily important is this, who will count the votes and how. So we get into all this effort to manipulate the voters, but then it comes down to it, who's going to count these things? And I did a study. The word electing, electors, elections, votes, voting, those words are used in our Constitution and the Bill of Rights multiple, multiple times. Never once does the Constitution or the Bill of Rights tell you how to have an honest election. It was assumed that people would be honest because we were a God-fearing country. Once you get rid of God and there's no accountability, it's just a power grab. And again, as we mentioned in a previous program, if a party can justify killing innocent babies with abortion, is there anything they can't justify? What's voter fraud? What's a little cheating here or there compared to killing an innocent baby? So there's in my book, and the title of the book is Socialism, the Real History from Plato to the Present, I list quite a number of tactics that have been used on how to manipulate elections. And if you like, I can go through some of them.
Yes, they're all very relevant.
Well, one is losing ballots. And so there's cases that go back, 50 years where they take the ballots from the polling place and put them in somebody's car and they're driving to the Board of Election and they never show up. And then another is stuffing the ballot boxes. So I worked with Phyllis Schlafly for years on collecting stories of voter fraud. And the ones where they would not count the ballots at the polling place, but they would just put them in a box and take them to the Board of Election to be counted, that would be the equivalent of Walmart telling their cashiers, do not count the cash at your cash register. Just put it in a box and we'll drive around with it and we'll count it once it gets to the bank. Well, wait a second. Anybody could pull money out of there and nobody would know. That's what's the way it is with these elections. And then voting multiple times. And even recently, there's cases of accusations of them taking boxes of ballots and then running them through the machines multiple times. Another's mail-in ballots that are lost, altered, added to. Even the printing of the ballots. Did anybody audit the printing company to make sure that they stopped at the specific number? Now, I print books, and a normal practice of printers is you order 5,000 books, they might deliver 5,500, because when they get these enormous presses running at really fast speeds, it's just another 2 or 3 seconds before they turn it off, and they've run through another couple of hundred books printed. And so when you sign the contract to buy the books, you're willing to take a 10% over amount. And so was anybody there counting to make sure they didn't overprint the ballots, these mail-in ballots, and maybe had them disappear, and maybe had somebody fraudulently fill them out? They could have, they couldn't have, but there's no auditing system in place to make sure that didn't happen. Delaying of counting military ballots, and this has happened in numerous elections. Traditionally, the military has been more conservative, right, and so they would lose them or have them delivered after the election.
Right. I think in this case, probably the military favors Donald Trump.
Yes, yes. At least the rank-and-file military. Right. Same-day registration. Well, what's that about? That's where you can have somebody that comes in, and there's no background checks to make sure they're a citizen of the United States or even a citizen of the state, and they just say their name and they get to register and vote the exact same day. Inaccurate ballot preparation. What's that? Well, I personally ran for Congress back in 2000 and in the city of St. Louis, and they left my name off the ballot in 5 wards. And so there was inaccurate ballot preparation. And now it's computerized, and there's been accounts of people touching the touch screen for one candidate, and it credits the vote to the other candidate. And another is allowing non-citizens to vote.
Yeah, that I think is so dangerous. If a country cannot maintain its borders, you will not have a country. And when you have people coming into America who do not support American ideals, America is not just a place, it's an idea. And it seems to me, why are you allowing people who are non-citizens, who don't pay taxes, who might not be in the same ideological vein as Americans? As a matter of fact, when I think of Joe Biden, he's really not an American, okay? He doesn't hold to American values. He may be an American citizen, maybe was born here, I don't know. He had 40 years to do good in government and didn't do anything good in government. So this one, allowing non-citizens to vote, the whole idea of sanctuary cities, it's asinine. I mean, a lot of them kill people.
The Tom Ridge from Pennsylvania used to be the governor. He said, a congressman, one of the worst things he did was Motor Voter Act. And that was when people get their driver's license, they automatically get registered to vote. Well, wait a second. You don't need to be a citizen to get a driver's license, but you do to be able to vote. And so nobody's checking there. And then refusal to purge voter rolls of dead people. Why is this important? Well, you can have millions of people like in Chicago who have died and they keep their names on the voter list. Why is that important? They can do voter fraud, and if it keeps underneath the number of the registered voters, nobody will suspect anything. They'll just say, oh, it was a large voter turnout. And so you could literally have more people voting than there are citizens of voting age in a city.
I think that's happened in this election in some states or counties, and that's been very suspicious.
It has. And then orchestrated computer glitches. And so there's hundreds of ways to do computer voting fraud. One is where it's date sensitive. So the day before the election, day after the election, the computer will work perfectly. So you can test it. But the day of the election, it can be on this date, the votes will be pre-sorted out to a predetermined percentage. And so people testing the computer, well, it worked. Look, we did it before, after. It worked, counted accurately, but on the day of. Another is rigging election voting machines. There's actually been some court cases. There's only half dozen companies that make the voting machines. But they go to the county clerks and say, hey, if you use our machine, we promise that you'll win re-election. And so there's been lawsuits because they can rig that. And then hacking into the computers by our own government. So during the last presidential election, the U.S. News and World Report and the Daily Caller reported that the Homeland Security was hacking into Georgia's voting machines. Wow, why would they do that, right? So here's our own deep state hacking into machines wanting to. So there's lots of different things, but we're out of time here. So the book is Socialism, the Real History from Plato to the Present.
Well, you know, when I think of the deep state, I also think of the swamp. And swamps have snakes, crocodiles, ugly reptiles, and I think that really characterizes the deep state. Well, Bill, thank you so much. It's been a great blessing. The book is an excellent book, Socialism, the Real History from Plato to the Present. Lots of information, historical information, documented. You can learn a lot. This can be a textbook in high school or in college. Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners how they can get our special offer.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. We pray you're enjoying and being edified by these insightful programs with Bill Federer. Our special offer today is a great one. First of all, we have the new book by Bill Federer titled Socialism, the Real History. You can have a copy of this soon-to-be bestseller for a gift of $25 if you live in the United States and $45 if you live in Canada. We also have the book by Brian Osborne titled Quick Answers to Social Issues. You can have a copy of this extraordinary book for a gift of $15 in the United States and $35 for our Canadian friends. And we have the DVD titled Quick Answers to Tough Questions for a gift of $10 in the United States and $20 in Canada. This DVD covers such topics as creation, evolution, and the Bible. A great study guide. Our special offer today is to get all three items I just mentioned for a gift of $35 if you live in the United States and $55 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. And you can order anytime, day or night, on our website at swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
In India, a religious practice for some people was to bathe in the sewage-filled Ganges River. As a result, multitudes contracted a waterborne disease called cholera. In the 1800s, the British Empire was the largest empire in the world. When the British East India Company gained control of India in the early 1800s, they built railroads and sent steamboats up the rivers. Unfortunately, individuals infected with cholera were able to quickly travel back to Europe, carrying the dread disease with them.
The disease killed tens of millions in crowded cities across Europe. In Russia alone, cholera killed over 1 million people. Even the famous composer, Peter Tchaikovsky, died from cholera. Spreading through unsanitary water, the disease spread worldwide. Immigrants, infected with cholera, brought the disease to South America, Mexico, and the east and west coast of the United States.
In his book, Miracles in American History, Bill Federer tells how, on July the 3rd, 1849, President Zachary Taylor proclaimed a national day of prayer and fasting in response to the cholera epidemic. Quote, "At a season when the providence of God has manifested itself in the visitation of a fearful pestilence which is spreading itself throughout the land, it is fitting that a people whose reliance has ever been on his protection should humble themselves before his throne, and while acknowledging past transgressions, ask a continuance of divine mercy." Close quotes.
Approximately 1 month later, on August 1, 1849, New Jersey Governor Daniel Haynes' proclamation was in one of the state's main newspapers. "Whereas the President of the United States, in consideration of the prevailing pestilence, has set a date of fasting, and whereas I believe that the people of this state recognize the obligations of a Christian nation publicly to acknowledge their dependence upon Almighty God, that abstaining from their worldly pursuits, they assemble with humble confessions of sin and fervently implore the Almighty Ruler of the universe to remove us from the scourge and speedily restore to us the inestimable blessing of health."
Newspapers reported that by the end of the month, the death toll dropped dramatically. American presidents, starting with George Washington, have recognized America's dependence on God and His mercy. Surely in our present time of moral degradation and evident signs of divine displeasure, a time of prayer and fasting is the order of the day. The words of Psalm 85, verses 4, 5, and 6 are a fit and proper prayer for God's people. "Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?"
From the movie screen and science fiction to reality, from express.co.uk.com, back from January 6, 2017, comes a story that hints of a possible Iron Man army. Quoting the article, "The soldiers will be stronger and boast increased endurance when wearing the robotic exoskeleton, allowing them to carry heavier weights, including weapons, equipment, and supplies." The futuristic suits were unveiled at the CES technology event in Las Vegas, which showcased the latest in gadgets and high-spec tech. Far from its medical intentions, the superpowers are intended to use the bionic exoskeleton to create a fleet of super soldiers. Compared to the superhero Iron Man suit, Hyundai is creating suits geared toward people with low muscle ability and is capable of supporting up to 40 kilograms of wearer's weight. The suit, unloaded, can reach speeds of 7.5 miles per hour, and Russian, Chinese, and U.S. military are looking at investing into the tech. Deployed to fighters in the field, the exoskeleton capacity would allow soldiers to transport significantly more on their person. Powered walking capability would enable soldiers to cover more ground with less need for rest. The military suit was revealed alongside a second pioneering exoskeleton designed to help disabled and paralyzed people walk again. Using special crutches and a wireless clutch, the suit will help those with spinal injuries to be able to stand, walk, turn, and even climb stairs. Creator Dr. Dong Jin Hyun said that the specialist exoskeleton, which does not have a launch date, will be affordable. The current market price is expected to be in the range of about $40,000. Dr. Hyun said the robotic suit can truly make a big difference in human society. And Taewon Lim, the head of the Hyundai Motor Central Advanced Research and Engineering Institute, added, "We have a vision that Hyundai Motor will become more than just a manufacturer of cars, and the advances we make in assistive robotic technologies will allow us to offer customers new levels of mobility freedom." End of the article. One must wonder if the Iron Man army being developed by Hyundai might not be what Joel saw in chapter 2 of his prophecy. In verse 4, the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses and as horsemen, so shall they run. Also in verse 7, they shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one in his ways and shall not break their ranks. And in verse 10, the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble. At this point, we can't know, but we may be seeing this scripture being set up for fulfillment.
Have you ever blessed somebody and they just weren't, you know, thankful? Maybe that's the way God feels. So we at Southwest Radio Church want you to know that God is blessing us. So here, with our weekly praise report, is Mimi Davis.
This week has been a great week. Remember how we asked you to give for a new printing press? The cost of this printing press system new would have been well over $600,000, but God gave it to us for about $150,000. We at Southwest Radio Church praise God you responded, and I'm here to report that your gift towards this printing system has totally revolutionized our printing. We are now able to print our Prophetic Observer in hours instead of days. We are now able to print whole books in a matter of minutes. We have had so many requests for books like Dr. Hutchings' book on Revelation. Before this printer, we would have had to order thousands of copies to make it cost-effective. With our new on-demand printer, we now can print individual books as people request them. At one time, this seemed impossible for us at Southwest Radio Church. But because of your faithful giving, it is now possible. If you are not a regular supporter of Southwest Radio Church, would you pray about being a monthly supporter? As always, your gifts are tax deductible. You can make your monthly gifts or one-time gifts online at swrc.com, or you can call our toll-free number at 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144, and our staff would love to hear from you today. I'm Mimi Davis, and this has been your weekly praise report.
Some people seem to think that socialism will solve the world's problems. Free healthcare, free education, free food, free housing, free, free, free. It all sounds so wonderful. Why hasn't it worked yet? Find out when you order our special offer today by calling 1-800-652-1144. And you know you can order it on our website at swrc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. Tune in tomorrow on the Watchmen on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.